Hello again, and I'd like to say it's always a privilege to share the Word of God with God's people, and I really give thanks to God for the privilege given whereby we can come together and share his word and listen to him speak to us. And as we listen, we obey and we grow together. And so once again, it's a huge privilege, and that we do not take for granted. So today I'm going to be sharing on part of the mini series, which is Stand Firm, which is what we have been going through for some weeks. And the title for today's message is Overcome Evil with Good. Overcome Evil with Good. We're going to be reading our main text from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. We will read from verse 8. And we will end at verse 18. And I'll start reading 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 to 18. And I read, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic. Love one another, be compassionate and humble. So do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Verse 10. "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Verse 13. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." I'll stop here at verse 15. I'd like to, first of all, just give a little bit of an introduction, sort of a background to this teaching today. As you can see from the way the scripture started, we started from verse 8, so we did not actually start from the middle of the chapter. So it's always a good idea to give a bit of a background, so that way things are put in perspective, so we have a better understanding of where the writer is coming from. And so based on that, I'd like to just briefly comment on the first verses at the very beginning of this chapter. So at the beginning of that 1 Peter chapter 3, we see the writer here sort of, talked about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And he actually said, that the wife should submit themselves to their own husbands, and so that, so it went on and on and on and on like that. And then when it came to the turn of the husband, this is what the writer had to say. He said that the husband should respect their wives, and the husband should treat their wives with respect and gently. And so what I like to see here is that the relationship between the husband and wife has been chosen by the writer to explain the point that he had to communicate across to his audience. But we can see that here that the two points that he brought up here, the point of submission and respect. You see, these are two very, very important attributes which applies not only to the relationship between the husband and wife, but I would say to every human relationship. Now, in any relationship between human beings, I think it's absolutely vital that there is respect, respect for one another, and also there is that submission. Submission meaning that we don't have to have our ways all the time. We have to sometimes, think about the people or the person that we are dealing with. By doing that, not necessarily mean that we are weaker or that we're weak, but it just simply means that we are considerate, that we are thinking of the people or the person that we are dealing with. And so, bearing this in mind, we can then go back to verse 8. And in verse 8 of that 1 Peter 3, the writer now said, he says, and so finally, all of you be like-minded. So I'd like to emphasize that word there, minded. It says, be like-minded. That means have the same mind. And it is important to stress here that that mind that this writer is talking about refers to the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Okay, so it says, finally, all of you be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate. And be humble. So these are four very, very important factors or characteristics, or if you like to say four important parameters that the writer has sort of brought out of his writing, and he wanted to emphasize on the importance of this in the relationship between his hearers. And in this case here, it will be in our relationship with one another as Christians. As Christians. So I think it is very, very important here that we remember these four parameters. One of them, well, the first one rather, is that we be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. We see this very attribute was demonstrated by Jesus. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, that Jesus Christ, as our high priest, was sympathetic about our situation. The Bible says that because the fact he's our high priest, and the very fact that he has been through the life we live in now as a human being, he is able to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses. He is able to sympathize with us, and that way he is able to carry us on. He is able to forgive us. He is able to intercede for us. He is able to forgive us our sins when we ask him for forgiveness. And so Jesus Christ demonstrated, or he demonstrates and is still demonstrating, that sympathy for us as human beings. He knows that we are weak. He knows that we can only do so much. And so Jesus, he covers for us as our high priest. The Bible tells us in that book, Hebrews 4:15, that Jesus is sympathetic. He is sympathetic of our situation. Now, the second point I'd like to mention here, which this writer also brought forward here, is the compassion. Compassion. Again, we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 32, and in Luke, chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus again demonstrated that compassion. When all these people came to him and they were listening to him, and Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion on them. He had compassion. They've been with him for quite a while, and they have nothing, they've had nothing to eat. Jesus showed compassion. And so the writer here is also reminding us that we should be like-minded. We should show the following: sympathy, be compassionate. And then he also went forward to say that we should love one another. There are several scriptures, you know, several scriptures in the Bible that tells us about love, our love for one another, our love for our God, our love for Jesus and the things and the works of God. Where do I start from? But I'll just bring one up. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible tells us, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus also tells us, you know, that when we love one another, we are showing that we are the true children of God. And so it is very important that we show that love for one another and also the love of God. And then finally, the fourth parameter here is humility. That we should be humble. You know, we should be humble. We know this scripture, Philippians chapter, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 through to verse 8. The Bible tells us there, it says that in our relationship with one another, that as we deal with one another, as we relate to one another, let us let this mind be in us. That same mind that is in Christ. That same mind that Jesus had. You know, where Jesus, even though him being God, he did not consider, you know, the things that, you know, his position. He did not hold on to his godly position. He did not hold on to his glory. But the Bible says instead, he laid everything aside just because of humanity, so that he can come to us and be like one of us and eventually paid the ultimate price for our sins. Humility. Humility. And of course, we know how that story ended. The Bible now tells us, it says, "Therefore, so God himself has highly exalted him and has given him that name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And so that's, you know, it's very important that we remember that, you know, that in verse 8, this is what the writer, you know, actually started. It brought out these four parameters from that conversation, from his message to his people, that they should remember to show compassion. They should remember to sympathize. They should remember to love one another. And they should always remember to be humble. And in verse 9, it says, "And do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. But on the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." You see, it's very important here. So remember, we are talking about repaying evil with good. You see, so when we find ourselves in a situation where somebody has done us wrong, somebody has done something that really, really, really make, you know, is made us, is put us in a position where we feel, "I really want to get back at this person. I really want to pay this person. I really want to show this person." You see, we should be very, very careful. We should be very, 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 you know, gentle. We should be very, very calm. We should never react in haste. We should be very, very careful. Always remember that if we love that person, you know, I'm talking about the love of God. if we have the love of God that came through Christ for that person, then we will see beyond that person that whatever this person has done or whatever this person is doing, it's not, it's, there is somebody that is, you know, that is causing this person or these people to do these things to us. So we should see beyond the person that is doing it, but we should see, look forward and look, we should see the enemy that is causing that person to do these things, because the enemy is trying to get to us. But let's remember that we do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. So I like that word, insult with insult. Okay? So when you insult somebody, there are several ways you can insult somebody. You can insult somebody by this. We can insult people by the things we do. But most times, you insult people by the things you say. So you insult somebody. It says, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that ye may inherit a blessing. You see, so there is a promise there. There is a promise there. When we repay evil with good, or when we repay evil with blessing, then we may inherit a blessing. There is a promise there, and not only is there a promise there, but the Bible tells us, it says that for this reason we have been called. Okay, so if you like to put it this way, we have been called to be people that repay evil with good. In other words, we have been called to be peacemakers. So when somebody does something in a way that tries to harm us, we should repay them with something that is good. That means we should try and make peace. Okay, and the writer clearly states here, you know, it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. And so what he's trying to say here is, we'll be very careful with the things we say. The things we say with our mouths, the things we say with our lips, they are very, very important. Why is that important? Because the Bible clearly instructs us here to repay evil with blessings. And most times we bless with our mouth. You know, you say to somebody, God bless you. God bless you. We say kind words to people. We say words of encouragement to people. We say words that will edify people. We say words that will build people from our mouth. And we are not to use the same mouth that we use to bless people, to insult or to curse people. And so in verse 10, the writer says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil. Again, referring to the same mouth. The mouth, the tongue, must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. So we can see that, yeah, there is a whole big part. The things we say, with our lips, the things we say with our tongue, it plays a massive role in this, you know, discussion that we're having right now. That we can do a lot with our lips, we can do a lot with our mouth, but God wants us to bless with our mouth. God wants us to bless with our lips. So no matter what people do to us, we must remember that we use our lips and our mouth to bless them, to bring blessings upon them. Okay? And in verse 11, it says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. You see, so there is a deliberate action. There is, it's an active process. So when somebody does something wrong to us, we must make that conscious effort of repaying with good. So we are not to follow them along that path of evil, but if instead we are to turn from that path of evil. So if the path of evil is leading towards the north, we turn to the opposite side, the south, and do good and bless them. Because in doing that, we are operating in our calling, and also we may inherit a blessing. That's what the Bible tells us. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. Go to verse 12. He said, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Again, we can see another point here, why evil has no place in our relationship with God. You see, and we must guard against it. We must do all we can within our power not to allow ourselves to be drawn along that line. Because when we do that, what did the Bible tells us in verse 12? The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. God, the creator of heaven and earth. God, the owner of the universe. God, who sees everything. He sees every human being. He knows everything. But the Bible tells us here, it says his eyes are on the righteous. So what that simply tells me is he's watching, he's looking, watching over the righteous. He says, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. So the prayer of a righteous man, the man that decides to shun evil and do good. The Bible says God's eyes are on him or her constantly, and God's ears are attentive to the person's prayers. So what that simply means is your prayers will never go unanswered. Your prayers will never go unanswered if you decided to shun evil and do good. You will always be in the sight of God. You will always be in the presence of God. God's eyes will always be on you, and God's ears will be attentive to your prayers. That's where God wants us to be. And it is in that position, that's where the blessing comes. You see, and that is why we must make that effort to make sure we remain in that position by putting aside evil and doing good. Now, in the process of doing that, as we try not to repay evil with evil, as we try to repay evil with good, the Bible tells us, it says, but even if you should suffer for what is right. So that means in the process, there will be challenges. We will face challenges. We will face opposition. But what are we supposed to do? The Bible tells us here in verse 14. It says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So either way, it's a win-win situation. When we repay evil with good, we will inherit a blessing. But even if, the Bible tells us, even if we suffer in the process of doing that, we are still blessed. We are still blessed. And so because of this, it says, do not fear their threats. So we are not to be afraid of the challenges. We are not to be afraid of the threats. We are not to be afraid of the things that come, the difficulties that we will face in the process of repaying evil with good. But instead, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. This is where we begin to take our place. This is where we begin to take our stand. When these challenges come, when this difficulty come, as we are trying to repay evil with good, and we feel that we have been, you know, we are fighting a very, very tough battle. We are dealing with difficult situations. We are dealing with difficult people. We are dealing with, or we are handling challenging situations. We are walking in unfamiliar territories. How do we handle this? How do we keep on repaying evil with good in the midst or in spite of difficulty? How do we do it? The first thing I'd like to say is in verse 15, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So number one, we focus on Jesus. as we face these challenges and difficulties, as they come and try to make things difficult for us, let's not focus on the difficulty or on the challenges. Let's not allow these situations to throw us off course. Let's not allow these situations to make us to change our mind and then want to repay evil with evil. But instead, let us allow these situations, these challenges, these difficulties to refocus us so that we will focus on Jesus. We will focus our minds on Jesus. Focus our hearts on Jesus. Focus our efforts on Jesus. The Bible says we should revere Christ. That means we look unto Jesus. The Bible tells us who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Why? Because he has been through this. Jesus has been through this. Whatever challenge we will face, whatever difficulty we would face, whatever temptation we would face in the process of trying to repay evil with good, Jesus has already been through it. And because Jesus has already been through it, he is in a very, very, very advantageous position to take us through. He is the only one who can take us through, who can deliver us, who can strengthen us, who can help us. And so I say, brothers and sisters, that the first thing we do is we revere Christ. We look unto him, revere him as our Lord. Higher than any situation, higher than any mountain that we would ever face. Jesus, Lord, let us keep our focus on him. Number two, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's remember, let's not do like what Peter did, you know, when he was walking on water. And initially, when Jesus said he should come, he stepped out in faith and he was walking on the water. And then the Bible tells us that when Peter's eyes was suddenly taken off Jesus, the waves, all of a sudden, they started overcoming Peter, and Peter began to sink. And then he cried out, and Jesus stretched out his hands, and Jesus helped him. So, in the midst of difficulty, we fix our eyes on Jesus. In the midst of temptation, we fix our eyes on Jesus. In the midst of trials, fix our eyes on Jesus. And then point number three, we depend on the Holy Spirit. We depend on the Holy Spirit and ask him for help. It's just a, you know, let's get into the habit of coming to the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. He is our helper. He would help us. He would help us. He would show us the things to come. He would guide us into all truth. Okay? So as we grapple with difficult situations, let us depend on the Holy Spirit and ask him for help. The Holy Spirit, I'm really, really struggling with this situation. I don't know how to deal with this person. Please help me. And the Holy Spirit will help us. The Holy Spirit will help us. And then point number four, I would say, we pray for direction and clarity. Pray for direction and clarity in every difficult situation so that that way God will guide us and we'll be able to instead be able to repay evil with good. We will be able to do something good in the place of something evil because that's where God wants us to be. Because it is to that effect that we have been called according to the scripture. And like I said earlier on, we may inherit a blessing. And the point number five, I'll say read the scripture, read the Bible so that you have an answer for people's questions. So when people ask you questions about this your faith, about this your religion, about this your God, about this your Jesus, you know, why are you doing this? Why this? Why this? Why this? Because we read the Bible, we have a knowledge of what scripture says. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are able to give them an answer, a good answer, a respectful an answer. We're able to reply them, have a conversation with them with respect and also in a gentle manner. So that way, we are able to bring the gospel to them, and hopefully the Lord will touch them and they'll be saved. The point number six. So we have a good attitude and good character. Have a good attitude and good character. So I'll read verse 16. It says, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You see, when our character is above board, when our attitude is unquestionable, there are some people who may never read the Bible until eventually they become Christians. And so we Christians, we are the only Bible that they see. And so they look at our lives and the things we do, from the things we do, they are as they watch us, they are reading the Bible. And so the Bible is saying here in verse 16 that we should try and keep a clear conscience. You know, we make sure our conscience is clear, so that those who speak maliciously against our good behavior, okay, in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. See, this when we try, so we should endeavor to try and ensure that our character is above board and our attitude is also unquestionable. You see, there's this saying, no matter how talented somebody is, no matter, even I would say, no matter how anointed somebody is, if you have a bad character, you can only go so far. You see, your gifts, your talent will take you, for example, up to say the roof level. Yes, your talents and your gifting will take you up to the roof level of your ministry. But it is your attitude, your character, that is what will take you to sky level, take you far above the roof level, your character. You see, and that is why we should ensure that we have a good character, so that the people that are watching us, they will have nothing to say about us. Just like when the Bible says, when the enemy came in the case of Christ, when the enemy came to Jesus, they could find nothing in him. Nothing. They found nothing in Jesus. So nothing that they can hold against him. Brothers and sisters, let that be, you know, our testimony, that when the enemy comes to us, it will have nothing. It will find nothing in us. Now, verse 17, it says, for it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins and righteousness, and righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So, finally, as we repay evil with good, we are doing two things. We are operating in an area, the ministry that we have been called in. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 that as we do that, we inherit a blessing. And so as we do that, we are operating in our ministry that we have been called in, and also we will inherit a blessing. We will inherit a blessing. And so let us look unto Jesus. Let us come to the Holy Spirit and ask him for help. And let us remember that even if in the process of doing that, if we suffer, that Jesus has been through this path before. He suffered for us. He died for us. That even in our suffering, we would still be blessed. because God has promised us we will be blessed, and God will bless us. Thank you for listening and for your time. God bless you.